to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Same thing.
welcome. This is Edna J. White. I am your host today on Wounded to Wonderful and Keeping It Real. Today, you are in a destination to know the real people that do the real things, that talk about real things. And we have two special guests. I love them dearly ever since I've met them. And today we're going to be talking about something that's really dear to my heart, and I think theirs too, spirituality and religion, but it's during the pandemic. And we're going to discuss that topic and get really into it. So let's delve into who you are today, my guests.
My name is Brenda Simmons, and I'm going to make a joke, which will be real to real. I don't really know how to really introduce myself, besides that I am an advocate in the village of Southampton. I am rejourneying as we speak, and I love people, and I love my community, and I love you too, Edna.
I love you. I really do.
Okay, I am Pamela Donnelly. I am a holistic health coach. I'm the founder of Return to Eden Holistic Health Corp. And I help people get back into shape and heal their bodies through holistic means and through not loosely, but built on the principles of the Bible. So, and I enjoy helping people, and I love meeting wonderful people like you two, lovely ladies. And I look forward to our discussion.
Great. So we know that we're experiencing the pandemic. We're still kind of in it, but not in it, sort of. We just had a long discussion about what's going on. Let's take apart spirituality and religion. And I really want to...
Oops.
What? No, you're here. You're still with us.
I still see you.
You're still with us.
My screen acted crazy. Okay, there we go.
Okay, oh Lord. So we want to take apart, let's just start with religion, because, you know, religion, as we all know, we all have been in religion, and I want to hear about, you know, what religion, like religion to you. Let's talk about that first. What is religion? Let's talk about that.
Well, just talking about my experience with religion, we're going to be real today, as we said.
Absolutely.
I was brought up in the church, and I believe, you know, looking back, I believe I'm thankful for the principles, and it geared me to really read the Bible and read the word for myself, because there was things going on in the church that didn't set right with my spirit, and I didn't understand it. I didn't really grasp what was going on, but it seemed to be... For my look at it was, is like people had to feel like they needed to get a position in the church, and that was a big thing, to have a position in the church. Mm-hmm. And there was a hierarchy, and then there were people that were, you know, in competition. Mm-hmm. So my experience with religion, and I'm not going to go into it, I'll let Pam answer her question with this, is that it was very it has pros and cons. I guess that's the best way for me to leave that at this point.
Okay. What is religion to me? Religion is not a relationship with God. It is
tweetable, everybody. Tweet.
It is a system that to me is more man-made than God-made. I'm sorry?
That was really good.
Thank you. But it is really, to me, religion is man taking the word of God and putting his own spin on it. And, you know, why we have different congregations, why we have Methodists, Baptists, all. I personally don't, the more I got into the word, I don't fully understand that, because if we all believe in the same Lord and that he rose again on the third, you know, what is the division? It's very clear what the word says. There should be one body, one united body under the head of Christ. So religion to me is systems put in place where it's more based on what we're doing to get the approval of God instead of being in a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's not by works, it's by relationship. So that's the difference for me with religion.
Okay. For me, I think my experience and religion in general, for me, was very confusing because I was drawing closer to the people and very far from God. I had no real realization of who he was. I only had the idea that he was somewhere out there and behind closed eyes. So I didn't have a concept. I didn't know that he was internal. And learning then later on and having something happen to me in my body, I learned that it wasn't nothing external. It had nothing to do with anything external. It had to do all with internal. And also that when someone's preaching to you, they're preaching, they're testifying, they're preaching, they're telling you their journey, not yours. So that was the biggest take from all of that, the religion for me. I don't even believe the principles were there because I didn't understand them. And until I stepped back from the religious part of it, did I gain the principles. Like I saw them for what they really, they were fluid. They were, you know, they were clear because I was totally confused. All of it, like, you know, even like Brenda says, even, you know, with the way people act, it's like, I thought they were supposed to love you. And they were mean and ornery and nasty and very confrontational, and everything was a competition. And I was like, this didn't seem normal to me as I got older. It didn't feel normal. But I went to church because I was broken and no one had enough sense to say to me, you don't belong here. You belong in a doctor's office. You belong with a therapist. No one was strong enough to tell me that or didn't have the information to tell me that. So for me, religion, because I even when I was younger, I drew to other religions. I studied under Jewish religion. I went to Buddhist temples. I was really like hungry to know what was the difference. And honestly, there is no difference. It's just said in a different way. Presented in a different package, and it's just the same. It floored me when I went to China and found out that Confucius lived the same way Jesus did, and I'm like, what? I thought USA had the patent on this. What are you talking about? I was floored. I couldn't, and they was like, wait, why would you think that? Everyone has a savior. And they said that to me. And here I am. I'm the evangelist, okay, ordained, all that. And I'm like, and I'm in tears because I'm like, this can't be true. Like, you know, this can't be true. And they said, no, we believe in God. We just don't talk about him like America does. It's like, ooh, got put in my place. They literally told me God gives us everything we need from inside. We just got to put it into effect. And that really hurt my feelings, because I thought I had the patent, like I really did. I really did thought I had the patent on getting to heaven. Then I was like, and so of course, the person I am, I said to them, so do you believe in heaven, hell? And the person looked at me and they said, Do you believe you can have a bad or a good day? And I started crying again. I was like, this is really making me, this is confused. This is not, it wasn't confusing me. It rang true to me almost. And then I was like, you know, I think it was my ego. Like, no, you're not going to, I was crying because I was mad that I thought I had it like all figured out. And that kind of threw me. So now I'm looking and respecting religions where they are, because a lot of the religions don't force themselves on you. There's only certain ones, but when it's peaceable, when religion is peaceable, you know, they're on certain principles. When it's peaceable, it's not forcible. So that's what my experience was with religion. So that was really deep. I got me, I'm about to cry now. I'm getting all emotional.
Can I just add something?
Sure, absolutely.
What came to me as you were talking was the fact that, I'm going to say two words, brainwash and cult.
Oh, yeah. Look at Pam's face. I'm sorry. Look at Pam's face.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
But, you know, those are the two things that, you know, I'm thinking that when you were saying that, you're saying that you were so kind of upset because we were so ingrained that this is what it is and there's no other way and that's just how it is, you know? Yeah. And that's the thing I think that was, you know, like I said, it was something about, I mean, I'm thankful for, I was very young. And even in Sunday school, I would raise my hand and ask certain questions because certain things I wasn't sure about or didn't seem right to me. And I was always told more or less, this is what we say, this is what we believe in and whatever. And then I was bold enough to even ask, could you show it to me in the Bible? And of course, then I was Jezebel and all kinds of things. And I individually, you know, I ended up leaving. But, you know, it was just very interesting when I look back on it. It was so many times I would sit there and it was just something that just wasn't right. And I couldn't figure it out. And I'm trying to be obedient. I'm, you know, I was raised in the church and this is the way you do. And I want to be pleasing to God, you know, but just something about that whole thing. But like I said, I feel still that it was the pros and cons because it led me to really begin to read the word for myself.
Yeah.
I have the concordance and all this kind of things. And I decided to go and visit other places as well. And I began to see some truth.
Yeah.
And then some error, obviously.
Right. I was looking for the equilibrium in it all. That's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking to see
thread.
The common thread. And I found it. I was like, wow, it's all about God. It's all about God. No matter, you know, if we heard about Christ, that's great. And Christ brings us to God. If Confucius brought them to God, I can't question that. I just can't, because we're not in the same origin or, you know, we read the scriptures, right? We read the scriptures. And we have to remember where the scriptures and who wrote the scriptures and where they were. We don't really apply that most of the time. We don't think, okay, this is a Hebrew nation, and this is what they were, this is what was going on at that time. We don't think like that. We read it, and we don't take those things where they were, what time it was, and what they were assigned to do. We don't think like that. And when I thought about that, through all of what we were, you know, what I was experiencing, I was like, wow, this rings true. It's all leading to the same place, to an experience with God. It's all leading to that, an experience with God, a journey with God. That's why the walk with, you know, that footsteps picture that everybody said, one person's walking, never figured it out until I figured it out. Because God was already inside. He wasn't carrying us. He was inside of us. We were walking. Mm-hmm. And that's what I figured out. I was like, wow, it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. We just got to listen to his guiding, you know, where he's telling us to go. But it makes total sense. You know, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that understanding. What do you think, Pam?
My experience was a little different than I didn't grow up in the church.
Okay.
And I actually was exploring everything prior, like psychic things, New Age things. I was very heavily involved with or getting heavily involved with. Quran. I was seeking the Jewish religion. I actually grew up in Great Neck, where it was. I have a great
heavily,
affinity to
yeah.
that. But I was seeking and I was searching and I dabbled in a bunch of different things, and I came to my faith and belief as I was older. And although I totally relate to what you were saying about the church and how people presented themselves in the country, it took me quite some time after getting saved to conclude something's not right. Something's not,
mm-hmm. 'cause
I at first I was just so overjoyed. You know how it is when you first get
absolutely.
But then when I started realizing it wasn't making sense, and then you're getting wounded and you're on the offenses and all this stuff goes on, I pulled back and I started getting into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, asking God to reveal himself to you,
mm-hmm.
because no one should be condemning anybody else for their faith. Nobody should be,
absolutely.
You know, we walk in love with each other. Okay, my journey was different. So I came into Christ in my later years, and I went through the other issues, you know, I tried all the different other faiths, and the one that rang true for me was Christ, was,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when I was blessed to have a few people around me that actually had a loving relationship, you know.
Okay.
That I was like, what do they have that the others don't have?
Right.
What's going on with them that I'm not seeing with everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So it really encouraged me to pull back and look at the Word myself and really ask God to reveal himself to me and give me the truth of the Scriptures.
Yes.
Not based on what man's interpretation
yes.
was.
Right.
Yeah.
But based on what he's telling me for me, my call, my life. Because what I found out is there's a lot of, like you said, there are different positionings. And some people are very gifted in the Lord.
Absolutely.
And there would be a prophet that would, you know, God would tell them something. And this is something I had. And then I would, in my youth, you know, in my youngness in Christ, I would say, oh, God told me that.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would be like, no, that's not what God's saying. God's saying this. And it would so confuse me. And
right.
I would be like, huh. And I would believe them because they had more maturity in the
there
Lord.
There you go.
Than I did.
Exactly.
You know, and then it caused so much problems that you both can relate to. So
absolutely.
When I pulled back and I asked the Lord
right.
to reveal himself and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to me.
Right.
That's when I started to develop a way. Actually, for 7 months, I was studying the Scriptures on love.
Right.
And that transformed my walk
right.
with him. And that transformed my relationship with him. I actually, as much as I love men and I love relationships, the relationship with God satisfied me so much. It actually transcended into the physical presence of God upon my life and
right.
upon me.
Right.
And satisfied me in a way that no man could.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
And, you know, and that was a huge
really
blessing.
It
transformed me. So for me, I do, you know, believe in Christ. I do believe in the Scriptures as he revealed it to me. And
right.
that's what I say for everyone. You have to seek God on your, you know, it's
absolutely.
Great when you do. You do need to be, you know, brought into the Word. You know, it does help to have some people preach, but based on the Word of God, not based on opinion, you
mm-hmm.
know, sharing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point, you can't rely on that. You can't be spoon-fed. You have to start eating
yeah.
meat and start getting a revelation
absolutely.
For yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen. The apostles stayed with Jesus 3 years. What are we doing? See, he told them to go.
Yep.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I stayed 27. That was my brokenness that stayed because I was looking
right,
for something.
Right.
My brokenness stayed. But I knew. I think I knew way before because I started questioning. I started, well, what about this scripture? Well, that's, they would give me answers that I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Because if you're saying this is ambiguous, then the whole thing is ambiguous. But that doesn't make any sense. Tell me what that means. And I really wanted to know. It wasn't that I was trying to stir up anything.
No, you were seeking.
I really wanted to know. And I had this one question about Joyce Myers. And you remember when Joyce Myers came out, right? So I was like, where I was going to church, women wore dresses. That was to depict that we were women, and that was it. Okay, that was it. And they weren't short, they were very long. Okay. So I said, well, how is Joyce Myers preaching such an amazing word and then going to Africa and building these, you know, like bringing water to these villages that don't have water, mm-hmm. and she's going to hell. That would, they couldn't even answer.
They were saying she was going to hell?
Yes, because she wore pants.
Oh my gosh.
Because she wore pants.
Are you really?
Yes, because she wore pants.
Oh my gosh.
And
she
now,
wore pants?
Because she wore pants.
That's crazy.
Because she wore pants, she was going to hell. So I was like, I don't understand, but we don't do that. But she's doing something that's helping the world, but God's going to punish her for doing something for the world because she wore pants while she did it. And I really wanted to know, and there was no answer for it. Then the second question that kind of, I started, really questioning a lot of things. I was, we was all praying at the altar, and I remember I heard a voice call my name, and I thought somebody was in the office calling me to do something. So I got up, and I went in, not checking to see who was sitting around. I just went in, and I was like, why am I hearing my voice? And there was nobody in the office. And then as I turned to go back out of the office, something said, look. Like, it was like, clear as day. And so I looked, and I was looking at them, that, you know, we were praying, and everyone was like on the floor, like literally on the floor. And the Spirit said, just ask. And I was like, what? And I was totally, now I'm totally more confused, because I'm like, I'm hearing these voices. They told me, first of all, that God didn't speak to me because I was divorced.
That was
number one.
Wow.
Not talking to me. Not talking to me. Number two, I was a woman. Not talking to me. I have a head that I have to go to that talks to me, talks to them to talk to me. Yeah. But I knew God talked to me because I was little when I was 5 years old, and my great-grandparents never taught me. Never went to church. They were slaves. They were freed, and I lived with them. And they sang and they prayed. And it wasn't like religiosity. It was something that was just so simple. They get up and it was like simple. It wasn't you got to do this. It wasn't like that. It was just so smooth. I didn't even realize it was spiritualism. Do you know? I didn't know what it was. And I knew God because I used to always write to Him. And I was like, there's no way. How is He not talking to me now? But those things kind of got me into, I spent 6 months like Pam did, 6 months searching, okay, God is love, let's go. I got the Greek dictionary, I got the Webster's dictionary, I got all these, I bought dictionaries, me and another friend of mine, we searched the Bible. All the things that we thought were what we thought they were, or what we were told they were, kind of were not. We're not. And we kind of chalked it up to, we thought they were mature because they were older, but they weren't mature. They were just heard something, and they repeated that. And they didn't learn. They didn't want to go above that. We did more in 6 months than we did in our 27 years. Yeah. So religion can take you to places that you don't want to go sometimes. And did you guys ever feel physically sick? Were you ever, you know, when you were in church, did you ever feel physically
sick? Oh, yeah, different points, sure.
Yeah, different points. You felt physically sick, right? I was experiencing that, too. Yeah, the physical part of it, you know, I felt, I don't know what to call it.
But there's a spiritual part to that as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, so
sure.
The physical sickness, I couldn't put my hand on it. Like, where I was going, they always just say, like, we'd have two services. I know Brenda's going to say something about this, but we'd have, like, a break, and then we'd have eat upstairs, or, you know, we eat. So we go upstairs, and of course, it's the proverbial collard greens with more meat than collard greens, fried chicken, macaroni, yellow rice, cornbread, and then we, you know, we gobble that up
with potato salad.
No, yeah, potato salad, and we gobble
potato
that up.
Potato salad.
Kool-Aid and Coke or Pepsi. And then we come back downstairs, and then everybody be like lethargic and sleepy, and you know, I never ate any of that food because my body couldn't take it, and I didn't eat like that. So I would always used to wonder, like, because I was the worship leader, and I always used to wonder, why is it so hard in second service? It was carbs. It was the carbs that, so physically, we were doing damaging things. In addition, we were fasting as well, and then gorging.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? We were fasting, Brenda. Were we not? Did we not? Please.
Did you guys go to the same church?
No.
Because I'm like, I didn't go. Okay.
We totally different churches. We probably knew each other, but we didn't go to the same church yet. But
okay.
Brenda, tell me, didn't we fast for like maybe 40 days? Remember the 40
Something
days?
Like that.
Or 3 days? And then we'd have like a dinner and then we'd...
Wait, you'd close the fast with that kind of food?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
Wow.
The other thing, just to twist it, you know, turn about the praise and worship, I was the praise and worship leader as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after a while, you know, later on, and as I began to, you know, go out to do praise and worship, I began to really get it that, and then I began to verbally say this, that you're supposed to come there.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to pump you up.
Same
words.
And
that was a challenge for me after a while. And that was getting so bold after a while that I would actually started the praise and worship.
Me
like, you know, I'm not, this is not no show. This is not no entertainment, you know. Come here with it, you know. So that was, you know, with so many things. Pamela, I'm going to say this to you, girlfriend. You are blessed not to have to deal with it. You know, because I've said that I've had to undo. And, you know, it was damaging to me. For a lot of years,
absolutely,
I had to deal with a lot of things in my life. And one of them was also when I got divorced. I got married when I was 20. I was divorced by 24, 25. And I remember in the church, they told me I could never get married again as long as my husband was alive.
Told me the same thing.
I was devastated. I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I believed it. Because, I mean, what else did I didn't know?
They're
and then finally,
to know.
When I was began to you know, go to visit other churches, and they were actually white and Caucasian churches, believe it or not, that I was visiting, and I happened to ask that question. And they would look to me like I was crazy.
Sounds familiar.
No. And then the also sad part about it is I had an abusive marriage. So I'm saying, how are you telling me, the missionaries are telling me, I need to stay there. And I'm like, no, you want me to stay here while I get abused? It's not real, you know? So it's so many things that, you know, I know we ended up talking about COVID too. But it was so many things, even with that, even with COVID, that I experienced when I was in St. Martin, because you know certain areas are very religious mm-hmm. when it comes to certain things, and the fear. You know, you think that we're not supposed to fear, but the fear that went on that I heard and saw and experienced when I was in St. Martin was interesting, opposed to me hooking up with some Rasta people
mm-hmm.
who was really free and talking about, you know, like Pam is talking about the herbal way of you know, living and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I interviewed this one gentleman named Jabash, and I'll make it really short. And I said, I want to interview you. I wanted to ask you, what do you recommend that would help build up our immune system?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said to me, and I'll just stop at this. He said to me, it's not about your immune system. It's about your fear and your negative.
That is correct. That is correct.
Toxins, yeah.
I totally believe that. I totally believe that to the fullest. I really do. I know Pamela has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, scripture says, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health.
That's
even as
my
your
favorite.
Soul prospers. That's the soul prospering, you know, that affects our immune system. And actually, as we said the last time we spoke, you know, neuroscience and quantum physics is backing that up, you know, our emotional state, our mental state have everything to do with our immune system.
Absolutely.
And how strong. Yeah. So that, and God knew that. That's not news to him. But
nope.
And going back to the church, it's not that I didn't go through anything. You know, I was a worship. I was a praise dancer.
Wow, isn't that something? I didn't even know that
worship
either.
Here. But it's just
I just said hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But things. Man runs the church, so there's going to be issues. And God has got to be first and foremost.
Absolutely.
Not Mansi. Otherwise, we all have to unlearn things.
Yes.
We all have to allow God to strip us of what we thought.
Right.
God actually said to me, let go of everything you think you know of me. I'm like, what do you mean?
Said that to me, too.
Right?
And said that to me.
And that was huge for me. I had to really allow him...
Mm-hmm.
To re-educate me on that. And I'm still in that process, quite honestly,
We all are. I think that was the biggest thing when I had that car accident. And my car accident was, I was coming from shut-in. And I know Brenda knows about shut-ins. I don't know if you know, Pamela,
ma'am.
But
yes,
I was
ma'am.
Coming from shut-in, okay? And my grief was, I remember thinking this, like, you know, all my children had you know, were grown up and they could make decisions on their own. And I wasn't going to force them to come to church. And I'm like, no one's here anymore. What's the use of me being here? Somebody has to give me answers. I remember this going through my mind. And when I was coming home, it was like 6 a.m. And the area where I was known for a lot of deers. So it was my first encounter with them at all. And I remember hitting the deer, like it was literally came out of nowhere because it was foggy. And I remember seeing it and hitting it and trying to swerve from the second one. I hit an oncoming car and then hit a utility pole, pushing the engine onto my lap, literally. And each break, I heard my wrist break first.
Oh.
And then when I slammed into the pole, I remember I felt my nose break and the top of my head shift down. This, I felt the blood trickling, but the engine was searing me. Now, I say these things just because I wanted to, I think it was the best day of my life because it saved my life because I knew God was talking to me. And so when I, the blessing was, I slammed into the utility pole by a fire department, the guy who was a fireman. And he reached into the car and he says, you're going to be all right. And of course I had, I'm the church goer with the Bible on the seat. Nobody's with me. And my phone's tucked in the Bible. He calls the last number, which is my mother. So he calls her and tells she's on her way to hospital. I had two, both of my lungs were collapsed and I was still talking. I had broken hip, dislocated hip, broken wrist, ankle, and femur. The femur shot out my leg while I was sitting there.
Oh. Oh.
And a whole lot of other lacerations. I knew that God, and it was funny because the scripture that came to me, how can new wine go into old wineskins? It came to me that day. And I was like, whoa. But when I say the experience, I'm getting chills now, but when I say that experience, the entire 8 months, God taught me something that was magical. When I went into the hospital, I'm the big evangelist, everybody, my title should be on my chart. That's what I'm thinking, They're going to treat me special. Yeah, right. Okay. So, they treated me just like everyone else, but they treated me with kindness. And I had to rely on memory for scripture in order to feel better. But if I knew God, I would have been able to feel better.
Mm.
And it was so enlightening to me. One lady came up to me, said, I heard your mom talking, you're an evangelist in the church, do you want a Bible? And I was like, I couldn't even read it. I couldn't even hold it because both arms were in braces. So that was out of the question. So I said, yeah, but that was methodical. Yeah, I was in a room with a lady that had a double mastectomy. She was like 74. And she cried every night. every night. And I couldn't talk because I had a trach. So once it came out, and I was, one of my friend's daughters made me sing because I wouldn't sing anymore. And so I was singing to her, and it calmed her down. One day I was singing, "What God has for me, it is for me." I sang that song to, you know, and I was singing it to her, and she died. And it humbled me so, because I said, you know, just knowing God and just having a relationship, I didn't have a relationship with God. I was learning that these people, the way we treat people, the way we, you know, love people is church.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That's church, you know. Just being a monk, to be able to be, if you couldn't do anything but smile, that was church. You know, giving somebody your smile, giving somebody your energy that, you know, everything's going to be okay. That was church. And just the lessons that I learned. I mean, I couldn't walk for like 4 months. 4 months. They told me 8. But I defied that. I walked. Let me tell you, I learned to walk. And then being in nature. Just being in nature. Oh, my goodness. It gave me the oneness. He taught me oneness. I was touching the trees as I walked. I walked every day, every day. First it was 1 mile, then it ended up to be 5 miles. And he taught me oneness. I am one with you and you are one with me. That was our ritual. And I'm like, how did I miss this? Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, you know, me and nature, I don't even know how I would survive without it, you know. I mean, people think I'm a little weird, and I really don't care. You get to an age, as you guys probably are, you know, you don't care anymore. But, I mean, even looking at when I was in St. Martin, every day, almost every single day, I had a place in Grand Coast where I went to see the sunset. Mm-hmm. In the morning sometime, I would go to another particular place to see the sunrise. Mm-hmm. Then there were times where I would be on my balcony, and after rain, I saw the most beautiful rainbow. And I would look up in the sky sometime, and it was just something about the sky. So that oneness, and I go to the ocean all the time. I mean, that's something I've done the last few days lately, just to even get me peace.
Right.
But if it wasn't for nature, I don't know. I have to, you know, they talk about, you know, you move somewhere. I said, if I ever did move anywhere, I had to be around water. I had to be somewhere close to water. Yeah. I had to be.
What do you think, Pam?
I agree 100%. God once told me to find him in everything. Even the person that's aggravating the crap out of me, he's in there. So, you know, find him in all things.
Yeah.
And the trees, you know, I need energetically, I didn't understand it at first, but I have to be near the water, as you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. That's why I live so, you know, close to the water over here, because especially when things are going wrong, but that's where I unite with him, you know. You know, I mean, obviously hopefully you have your place in your room, in your house,
You
can spend time with him, but when it gets really intense, gotta go.
So ladies, we've talked about religion. We've talked about some, a little bit of spirituality, but I know that the COVID-19 pandemic tested everyone's spirituality, their well-being, even atheists and believers alike. Let's talk about how you've seen it happen, you know, with what you're seeing happening with the pandemic, with people's balance with religion and spirituality.
You know, this is where, again, I said before, this is where the pros come in about me learning the word, and having the word in me, you know, and how it could come up. Because, and you know, I have to say, it was times where, you know, I was in St. Martin and, I was hearing. It was very different for me being in St. Martin and hearing everything that was going on here in the States. It was so, I don't know how to explain it, you know, hearing all the deaths and even knowing people that I knew that died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so so challenging for me. It was a lot of ministers and a lot of pastors that was dying. And so it kind of gave me a thought of saying, you know, where are we really, you know?
Yeah.
And during this pandemic, I got very closer to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also, like I said, I also experienced being around people who were just fearful. I mean, beyond what I can tell you, the fear within them was so devastating, even to see it in their faces, you know? But then you had people that I was around that was very calming, and they were at the same place we were, you know? So during this pandemic, I think it was a time for everybody to recognize. Of course, I think some people heard they were saying like it was the end of the world and God was coming, you know, the next day or before the week was out, you know, those things. And, you know, we've been hearing that, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but we've been hearing that for a long time, and we know he's going to come, you know?
Right.
But it was very challenging and very interesting to see and be around different people. Like I said, the gentleman that I interviewed, Jabash the Rasta, it was just something about a few of the Caribbeans always kept such a calm, relaxed, everything's going to be okay position. And just being around them alone kept me in a good place.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's awesome. As far as for myself, with COVID, that's an interesting question because I saw it on several different levels. On the practical side, my father, unfortunately, was one that passed away from COVID
in the height of it.
So I had that practical side, me being a holistic health coach. It was very difficult for me.
I imagine so.
How it was handled, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing, how it was handled. As far as spiritually, I saw and felt a great deal. For a couple of weeks here, there was, even in the atmosphere, such fear.
Yes.
Such fear. I mean, you could step out your door and just feel
yes.
the fear. And it was just like, and I really had to stay centered on the Lord to not allow that to enter
yeah.
in. And by the grace of God, it did not. But I, like yourself, Brenda, I was blessed to see a lot of people. There were a lot of people very fearful, and you do your best to encourage them
mm-hmm.
to be in peace, to be in faith, to, you know, that we will come mm-hmm. through this. But then there were people that had such faith, that were just so calm and trusting God, and you know, I also noticed that it brought out whatever was in us,
mm-hmm.
you know, who whatever we carried was brought out from this situation.
That's it. That's it.
That's true. That's it.
You know,
that's
so it. And that I found extremely interesting, and there was no uniformity in it. It was so
right.
diverse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I noticed.
Yeah, there. I found that even when the COVID did hit, and the cancellation of religious, you know, gatherings, how everyone, you know, churches were affected, synagogues, mosques, all of it, all places of worship were literally, boom, shut down, closed, over.
Everybody, yeah.
And everyone was able to pull themselves together. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they were able to take that faith and say, they transcended it from, it's not the building any longer.
Right.
It was, yeah. now it's me, because I'm here by myself, or I'm here with the family. How do I keep it together? And mm-hmm. COVID, I think out of that COVID, the COVID-19, it's teaching us individual spirituality. It's all of us are really getting, you know, universally, a lot of us are getting it. I'm not, I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of us are getting it. What matters? Well, mm-hmm. the church is really your family. Mm-hmm. If you're not raising them and you're not taking care of them, how are you going to tell somebody else to live the way they're supposed to? You know, we go back to our first loves. Go back to ourselves. Our first loves is us. Like, you know, we got to love ourselves before we love anybody. I'm seeing a lot of that, no matter what. Like, you know, my one of my friends, her sister died, you know, in the COVID as well. And my condolences to you, Pam. And she, you know, she was distraught, you know. But she was like, you know, she kind of turned it around. She goes, you know, she read this poem, and I'm getting emotional, but she said that my, you know, everyone says that, you know, these, that COVID-19, that she's number whatever, but my sister's not a statistic. My sister knew how to love me, knew how to talk to me. She's not a statistic. And it still gives me chills the way she said it. And she wrote a, like, this beautiful poem. And I was like, she got it. Like, you know, you get wholesome things from, like, tragedy. I don't know how to say it, but it that's the way it happens sometimes, is that you get the wholesome things, the wholesomeness that you need to really sustain you from tragedy. And I think this COVID situation really has brought that out in a lot of us. They brought us back to spirituality, the relationship, to create a real relationship with God. And, you know, I'm thinking about you, Pam, is like, holistically, we can even go get into now, like, have being lined up here, we can actually listen to our bodies and say, well, we're not supposed to have that. We're supposed to have this. We're not supposed to do this. And we can start lining up holistically. Am I right to say that?
Well, you can use it as an opportunity to...
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Learn to build your... Because honestly, if our immune systems are strong, we'll fight it. God made our bodies so incredibly well that we can... I believe that we can fight anything. But we have to make sure our immune system is where it was created to be. So, yeah, we can use it as an opportunity to say, you know what, we as a nation, we need to strengthen our immunity.
Right.
Because we're dealing with so much toxicity in the environment, in our households, and, you know, we really need to up it a notch on how we take care of ourselves and line it up with the way we were created to be, you know?
Do you think that faith in this COVID has increased faith, or has it, you know, kind of degenerated? What have you seen, or what do you feel?
On a whole, I believe it's been an individual thing. Like I said, I don't believe it's been, I don't see a uniformity with everybody. Right. Some people are still scared. Some people are still clutching the mat, you know, and really uptight, and other people are in peace. But I believe what it did was, like probably any other crisis or tragedy, it reveals where we need to work on, the areas we need to work on, that we need to strengthen. Gotcha. It reveals that. So, and for myself personally, I thank God that I have faith in Him, and I believe that He protects me from these things, but I also am not stupid, and I know I need to do the things that I need to do naturally to support, you know, what He's given me. Right. So, did that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Bridget, what do you think?
It definitely heightened my faith, you know. I always felt like I've had faith, but it definitely heightened my faith.
Mm.
And there's, you know, some things I used to really be, you know, like just really stayed in on. And one of them that I'm going to say is, you know, my body will function in the perfection that God created to function. And my body rejects any disease, any malfunction of my body.
That's good.
Send that to me. I'm going to have him say that. Send that to me.
And during this time, you know, that came back to me. And I began to speak that. And I began to share that with others.
That's nice. That's good.
You got to speak over your body. You got to speak over your body. Because I did you know, not to make a long drawn out of it, but I had did a long study about how your brain, you could speak to your body.
Yep.
You know, you can speak to your body. And I believe that. And I put, when things happen to me like this and I learn something that and it grips me, I put it into practice immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to prove this thing is for real.
Right. Me
and
too.
It is real. It is real. But I say that to say that my faith heightened during this time, and things that I used to do that I stopped doing or neglected to do, I got right back. It came right back to me.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that, you know, I would do it every day, sometimes twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I'll mention is that when I was going through a really bad divorce, the Lord brought something back to me, and He actually, like, played a video for me. When I was going through this divorce in this house, and I was going through so much with my kids and everything, but I was walking, He actually showed me walking through my house, tears rolling, but I was saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you. And that That's what he brought back to me. Right when I was in St. Mark. And simple things, those two simple things he brought back to me. And once I put those into practice, I was good.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Well, see, I was just going to say, though, give me some simple practices. Now, you don't went ahead and then started. No, both of you did. So, because I wanted to wrap it up and kind of get some spiritual practices that our audience can kind of do themselves that we've been grounded in ourselves as women of God and actually queens of the Most High.
Yes.
So I wanted to, just get some spiritual practices that ground you.
The other thing, too, I'll add, which I mentioned earlier, and I know Pam agreed with me, was the importance of having less stress.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Besides eating. Eating is a big thing as well. But having less stress. I mean, since I came back, I'm going to, be very transparent. I came back to a lot of things. I was away for 7 months instead of 5 months this time, or 6 months, because of COVID. But when I got back, it was so much going on here. I'm executive director of this museum, so I was taking care of that. And then there was a lot of political stuff going on here. And I found myself, after 2 weeks of just being back, I felt like I was going in a circle. Something was, was totally different from being in a calm, relaxed atmosphere in the Caribbean, But I had to get a grip. And I did exactly what we do, Pam. I went to the ocean. And I was there for hours. I had to just regroup. But I had to really realize what was going on. I had to make myself, I had to discipline myself to stop. Get off this roller coaster. It's going to drive you nuts. Stop it. And physically, I stopped. I had headaches. I wasn't feeling good. Mm-hmm. It was just bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
So one thing we have to practice is to be stressed as much as we can. Be stress-free.
Right.
Have to.
Yeah, we can't take things on ourselves. A lot of times, as women, as nurturers, we kind of take things on. That person or that thing. We're so concerned about it, but we shouldn't take that on. We pray about it and release it or affirm it to them, but we shouldn't take it on. Like, we have to hold it close to our chest, and we really don't have to.
I think that's instinctive.
I'm sorry,
Dad.
No, go ahead.
No.
One thing I'll just add real quick is the other thing that was very profound for me was saying goodbye to some negative people.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Saying no. No with a period and not explaining nothing. No with a period.
And some of it was connected to family.
Yeah.
But that was the hardest part for me. And I'm being transparent. Yeah. I'm still going through a little of that right now as we speak.
Right.
But, that's the other thing that was really kind of challenging, because you think family is blood and whatever. But I was definitely informed that family is human, too, And it's we'll talk about this another time, and not directly, too, about family, but people in general. That jealousy, that green-eyed monster is very dangerous. And we have to understand and know and recognize.
Yeah, let it go.
Say goodbye.
yeah, let it go. You have to let it go. Pam, what were you going to say?
Well, when you said we hold it close to our hearts, a lot of us, especially if we're helping other people, tend to be a bit sensitive, empathic. We have the tendency to absorb the things around us. And I was going to say exactly what you said, Brenda. It's the people. I notice it even with most of my clients, that it's the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
It is the people around them that is the most, the more sensitive you are spiritually or emotionally, the more that affects you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it does. So that is when I had early stages of cancer, I removed all the toxins. Within 3 months, I was in remission. How?
People.
Yes, my body was, I was younger then, but it was by removing all the toxins, being, in all realms of my life. I changed the food. Got rid of whatever jobs, because I was working like 3 jobs at the time. Got rid of everyone that stressed me out.
Mm-hmm.
3 months, body recovered that quick, because removing that which is hindering the flow of health and life.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies, this has been so good that I got to have you back. I don't even know what topic. We can go on and on about any topic. But it was really a blessing for me to talk about spirituality and religion during the pandemic and hearing your experiences. And definitely want to keep everything that you have shared with us and let the audience know that you guys are going to be back. So I'm very happy that you all are here.
It's a pleasure meeting you, Pam. And we have to talk.
Yeah, I will connect you to. What I'm going to do is have like a greet and meet and greet. Oh, we're gone. And that is the end of it. And I want to say good night. This is Edna J. White, Wounded to Wonderful Radio. Have a wonderful night. And if you have any comments, any questions, any topic that you want to talk about, please reach out to me at EDNAJWITE11@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Facebook in my group called Wounded to Wonderful, or my name, Edna J. White. This is Edna J. White, your host, signing off. Have a great evening.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.